Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at some pretty heady stuff, political philosophy, legal theory, all that good stuff.
Yeah, and how it connects to what's happening in society today.
Exactly. It's like getting a crash course in Dan Markle's idea of political retributivism.
Yeah.
So basically we're going to try to figure out what it is, how it applies to current events, and of course all the like really tough questions it brings up. You know,
it's a big topic, especially given everything that's happened in the last 10 years or so.
Oh, absolutely. And our guide for all this is this essay by Professor Josh Bowers.
Interesting choice.
Yeah, well, he was friends with Dan Markle. And in this piece, he's kind of like looking back at Markle's work. And, you know, with everything that's been going on since Markle died, it's definitely a unique perspective.
Especially since Bowers actually disagreed with Markle on some pretty basic stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I actually met Markle once at this academic conference. He was running a panel.
Okay.
And let me tell you, this guy was intense. Like, seriously, he was grilling the speakers way after the Q&A was supposed to be over.
I can imagine. He was known for being tough. But brilliant, too. You know.
No, totally. And the thing is, he wasn't just trying to be difficult. Like, he'd obviously done his research. He knew all the ins and outs of the arguments. And his questions were really smart. You know, they forced everyone to think harder and, like, come up with better ideas.
So a real scholar, but also, as Bowers says, someone who was respectful even to people he disagreed with, like Bowers himself.
Exactly. Yeah. He saw these debates as, like, part of something bigger. You know, like everyone working together to understand the law, which sadly, you don't always find that in academia.
That's true. But to get their disagreements, we got to understand what Markle meant by political retributivism.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he was saying that in a liberal democracy, punishment shouldn't just be about making someone suffer because they did something wrong.
It's not about an eye for an eye.
No, not really.
Yeah.
It's more about sending a message. Markle thought that punishment is only okay when it publicly condemns actions that go against the laws that are supposed to protect a liberal order. It's about protecting the whole system.
So it's less about whether one person is guilty and more about like reinforcing the social contract.
You got it. And that's where Bowers was like, hold up. He said, you can't have true retribution if you ignore each person's situation and how responsible they really are. Like, you can't just punish people without thinking about the context, no matter how liberal the rule is.
Sounds like a complicated debate. Both sides have good points. But Bowers brings up another thing. Both he and Markle spent a lot of time arguing about which specific rights a liberal state should protect, like, you know, sexual autonomy, due process.
Yeah.
But they never really define what makes a state liberal in the first place.
Yeah. Why not? That seems like a pretty important question.
Well, Bowers says it's because back then, they just assumed that liberal democracy was like a sure thing. It was this unspoken thing. They didn't feel like they had to define it because it seemed so obvious.
Ah, but things have changed a lot since Markle died.
You can say that again.
Right.
And that's what makes defining liberalism so important right now. So, expert speaker, what's changed? Why is this suddenly such a big deal?
I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? The rise of Trumpism, this whole thing with conspiracy theories and people denying election results, it's completely changed the political landscape. It's like a direct attack on the norms and values that liberal democracy is built on.
And Bowers really goes all in, right? He doesn't hold back. He names names and lays out all the evidence.
Oh, yeah. He carefully traces how these democratic norms have eroded, starting with stuff like the birther movement, which was clearly trying to say Obama wasn't a legitimate president.
Oh, yeah. Then it just keeps getting worse. The Charlottesville rally with all the white supremacists marching around with torches, chanting Nazi slogans, and, of course, the whole Stop the Steal thing that led to the January 6th attack on the Capitol.
Each of these things, like, chipped away at the foundation of our democracy.
Yeah.
They made it seem normal to use violence and intimidation as political tools.
Mm.
And Bowers argues that the right got really good at using this idea of illiberalism.
Mm-hmm.
They said that anyone who disagreed with them was automatically wrong. Mm. And they used that to justify their own attacks on democracy.
And he uses that really scary quote from Trump when he was pressuring the acting attorney general to overturn the election. He said, one thing we know is you, Rosen, are going to do anything to overturn the election.
Yeah, exactly. For Bowers, that quote shows just how dangerous things are. It shows that Trump didn't care about the rule of law at all, and that he was willing to destroy democracy just to stay in power.
It's a real wake-up call.
It is. And what Bowers is saying is that because of all this, we need to rethink our ideas about liberalism and how institutions can protect it. We can't just sit back and assume everything will be okay.
Which brings us to Bowers' own position, which has kind of evolved. It's funny because he's always been skeptical of state power. But in this essay, he's suggesting something pretty different.
You're right. He's saying that now that liberal democracy is actually in danger, we might need to have some institutional pride to defend the very institutions we've been criticizing.
So it's like a necessary compromise. To protect the system from people who want to destroy it, you actually have to believe in it at least a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. He even says, if pride has power, we may put that power appropriately to work to shore up productive civic bonds.
It's a very practical argument. But then he goes on to talk about the problems with this institutional pride, especially when it comes to people who want to abolish things like the police and prisons.
And this is where his expertise in criminal justice and his commitment to reform really come through. I mean, he's not denying that these institutions have serious problems.
Yeah.
Systemic racism, excessive force, mass incarceration. He's built his whole career on criticizing these things.
But he doesn't think getting rid of them completely is the answer.
Right. He's worried that the abolitionist movement, even though it has good intentions, might push away potential allies because it's so uncompromising and focused on abstract goals. He's concerned that it might throw out useful tools for protecting vulnerable people without offering any realistic alternatives.
He uses a pretty strong phrase to describe some abolitionists. He says they harbor a thoroughgoing disgust of the status quo.
Yeah, and I think that's the heart of his critique. He sees a kind of all-or-nothing attitude in parts of the movement that makes it hard to have productive conversations and find practical solutions. He knows that we need radical change, but he says it has to be based on a real understanding of how power works and how to build coalitions to make that change happen.
So if not abolition, then what does he propose instead?
He wants what he calls a more decent society.
Hmm.
One where the state only uses force when it's really necessary and only against people who are a real danger to the community.
He keeps coming back to this idea of humiliation as a sign of an indecent society.
Yeah, he's drawing on the work of Avishai Margalit, who says that a decent society is one where the institutions don't humiliate people. For Bowers, this means we need to rethink what criminal law is for, instead of using it to punish all sorts of things, some of which might be considered victimless, or even just dumb, as Dan Markle used to say.
He really likes that dumb law idea.
He does. Because it shows how the law can be used too broadly and unfairly when it's only focused on following the rules without thinking about the situation. So Bowers thinks we should focus criminal law on people who are actually dangerous, like the people who attack the Capitol, corrupt officials, people who commit racist violence.
So it's about using the power of the state, the power of the law, to create a more just and humane system to protect vulnerable people and hold those who abuse power accountable.
Exactly. And he knows that this is a delicate balancing act. He warns against moral institutional pride, which can make us ignore injustice even when we're trying to make things better. He reminds us that even with the best intentions, we have to be careful not to abuse power or overstep our bounds.
It sounds like he's walking a tightrope between hope and caution.
Definitely. He understands how complex and difficult social change is, but he also sees opportunities for progress. And actually, he ends the essay on a pretty hopeful note.
Really? I'm curious. Tell me more.
Well, remember, he was writing this during a really chaotic time. Biden's campaign wasn't doing well. There was an attempt to assassinate Trump. Everything felt really divided.
It does sound like a movie.
Right. And then in this totally unexpected twist, Kamala Harris becomes the Democratic nominee.
And this gets the left energized.
Exactly. Her nomination brought the left together. It gave them a sense of purpose that they'd been missing. Bowers sees this as a possible example of the kind of practical institutional pride he's talking about.
So people are willing to work within this system, even though it's flawed, because they see a chance for real change, for making things better.
That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a powerful one. It suggests that even in the darkest times, there's still hope for a better future. But to get there, we have to be willing to work with the institutions we have, even if they're not perfect.
It sounds like Bowers is cautiously optimistic, or maybe optimistically cautious.
Yeah, he's definitely walking that tightrope.
Okay, so let's take a step back. What are the main takeaways from this deep dive?
Well, first, we looked at Dan Markle's concept of political retributivism, which gives us a really interesting way to think about why we punish people.
It makes you think about punishment not just as something you do to an individual, but as a way to strengthen the values of a liberal society.
Right. And that leads to a whole bunch of other questions about how we as a society decide what those values are,
yeah.
Especially now when they seem to be under attack all the time.
And then there's this tension between being skeptical of institutions and what Bowers calls strategic institutional pride. It's like he's saying, look, I know these systems are messed up, but if we want to fix them, we might need to have some faith in them, at least enough to use that faith to create change.
It's a really interesting idea.
Mm.
And it's something you, the listener, might be struggling with yourself right now. Where do you stand on that? Are you totally disillusioned with the system? Or do you see some hope, some possibility for change from within?
And what about the calls for abolition? Bowers definitely has some concerns.
He does. And it's important to understand where he's coming from. He's not saying that the police prisons aren't seriously messed up. He knows about the systemic problems, the injustice.
Yeah.
But he's also worried about getting rid of everything without having anything to replace it with.
He's saying we need to think strategically.
Exactly. He wants us to think about what would actually happen if we abolish these institutions. What are the alternatives? How do we make sure vulnerable communities are safe?
So in the end, Bowers is arguing for a more nuanced approach. One that focuses on reforming the institutions we have, making them fairer and more humane, instead of just destroying them.
Yes. And he wants to use the power of the state, the power of the law, to create what he calls a more decent society, one that doesn't depend on excessive punishment or humiliation.
So what does all this mean for us? What are we supposed to do with all this information?
I think that's the question Bowers is asking all of us. He's not giving us easy answers. He's not telling us what to think or what to do. He's challenging us to really think about these ideas, to deal with the complexity, and to find our own answers.
It's like he's saying, okay, I've given you the tools, now go out there and build something better.
Exactly. And that something better might look different for everyone. For some people, it might mean working within the existing systems to change them from the inside. For others, it might mean organizing outside of those systems to challenge the way things are.
And that's what's so great about this deep dive, I think. It doesn't tell you what to do. It gives you the knowledge and different perspectives so you can decide for yourself how to get involved in these issues.
And hopefully those decisions will lead us all towards a more just equal and decent society.
It's a journey, right? One that we're all on together.
Absolutely. And this deep dive with its look at Markle's work and Bowers' thoughts, hopefully it's a helpful guide for that journey.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it thought-provoking, challenging, and maybe even a little inspiring. I mean, there's a lot to think about, right?
Yeah.
All of Markle's ideas, then Bowers' take on them, and then like trying to apply all that to what's going on in politics right now.
Yeah. It's complicated. But I think that's one of the best things about Bowers' essay. He doesn't pretend it's simple, you know? He doesn't try to give you easy answers or solutions.
He makes us do the work, which is probably a good thing.
Right. These are big, complicated issues. And for you, the listener.
Yeah.
I think Bowers' essay gives you a way to think about them, a way to see these debates.
Like that whole political retributivism thing.
Yeah.
It really makes you think about punishment differently.
Yeah. It's not just about punishing someone who did something wrong. It's about protecting the values of a liberal society.
Oh.
And that brings up a whole bunch of questions about how we as a society decide what those values are, especially now when it seems like they're being attacked all the time.
And then there's that back and forth between being skeptical of institutions and what Bowers calls strategic institutional pride. It's almost like he's saying, okay, yeah, I know these systems are messed up, but if we actually want to fix them, we might have to believe in them at least a little bit to use that belief to make things better.
It's a really interesting idea. And it's something you as a listener might be thinking about right now. Like, where do you stand on that? Are you completely fed up with the system? Or do you see some hope for change, some potential for things to get better?
And what about those people who want to abolish things like the police and prisons? Bowers isn't really on board with that.
He's not.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to understand why. He's not saying that those institutions aren't a mess. He knows there are big systemic problems, tons of injustice. But he's also worried about getting rid of them without having anything to replace them with.
It's like he's saying we have to be smart about this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He wants us to think about what would really happen if we abolished those things. Like, what are the alternatives? How do we keep vulnerable communities safe?
So it seems like Bowers is arguing for a more balanced approach, one that focuses on fixing what's broken, making these institutions fairer and more humane, instead of just getting rid of them completely.
Right. And using the power of the state, the power of the law, to create what he calls a more decent society. One that doesn't rely on punishing people too much or humiliating them.
So where does that leave us? What are we supposed to do with all this?
I think that's the question Bowers wants us to ask. He's not giving us the answers.
Yeah.
He's not telling us what to think or what to do. He wants us to really engage with these ideas, wrestle with them, and come up with our own answers.
It's like he's saying, look, I've given you the tools. Now go out there and build something better.
Exactly. And that something better is going to look different for everyone. For some people, it might mean working within the system, trying to change it from the inside. For others, it might mean organizing outside of the system, challenging the status quo.
And I think that's what makes this deep dive so interesting. It doesn't tell you what the right answer is. It gives you the knowledge and different perspectives so you can figure out for yourself how to approach these things.
And hopefully all of that will lead us to a more decent society.
It's a journey, right? One we're all on together.
Yeah,
absolutely. And this deep dive looking at Markle and Bauer's thoughts, hopefully it helps you along that journey.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it interesting, thought-provoking, and maybe even a little inspiring.